Beets are a great source of nitric oxide, and you can get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of super beets without the beet taste. No fuss, no muss. It's a great way to get your nitric oxide in your bloodstream elevated. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com. That's 800-738-2198. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to talk about and continue our discussion of the Start School Later initiative, which is a revolutionary initiative that seeks to restore balance, health, and adequate sleep to our kids. Our guest is Dr. Lynn Keefe. She is a pediatrician in private practice in Florida, and she has been advocating for later school starts since 1999. She is now health policy director at Start School Later. And in part one, we talked about all the problems that are associated with sleep deprivation in kids and why they're on a different cycle. They have a different circadian rhythm. They tend to be sort of like little vampires. Maybe that's why it's, vampire movies are so popular among the teen set and TV shows. Because they like to stay up late, and they have difficulty getting up early, and maybe that's hardwired in the teenage brain to some extent. In part two, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening on the national front, some local experiments in starting school later. Dr. Keefe, have there been any success stories with the implementing these types of changes? Can it work?
Yeah, I think there are some success stories. I think, I've been part of Start School Later since the inception, and the organization founders found me because I had been working very, very hard at my local school district level, but getting so much pushback. And this was what was happening all over the nation. And when you start going on this phenomenal internet and you find people, we all came together, and once we were better organized and with the leadership and amazing skills of the people involved, I think the success basically is we are talking about this today, because a lot of times individual parents, it's a tiny voice versus the national push and awareness that Start School Later has helped keep this on the front burner, if you will. Arnie Duncan has tweeted, and who is the king of education? It's going to be Arnie Duncan. But he cannot mandate a standard school start time. That's a federal thing, and that would get such pushback. So, in addition to working with the local school boards, we are trying to get some national awareness. Working with the U.S. Surgeon General, as this is a public epidemic. With lack of sleep, and this is also an education problem, because we're talking when later school start times are implemented, the amazing gains in graduation and academic scores, motivation of the students, lack of tardiness and truancy, and delinquent problems go. Everything is just made better within the schools that have gone through the changes.
So this has actually been documented. There are studies that show before and after.
Yes. Now, the earliest studies were done in Minnesota. But since that time, both published and anecdotal stories from mostly it's the some of the private schools who have realized they have the freedom, of course, of setting the school start time that's not dependent on the public buses and things like that. They have made changes, and oh my goodness, I have spoken to just superintendents of these schools trying to help them connect with my superintendent, who is, with her heels in the ground. It's just a beautiful story to hear, or families who have moved to an area from this area where there's later start times, and they just call me back and they said, oh my goodness, you would not believe the change in my child's behavior. Our family stress is going down. Because where efforts have been made to make school later or changes have been made, it's been successful. No one has turned back. And I will say there's an exception because it was Orange County, Florida. It was a big political thing with voting and elections that there was a quick switch back because the change was made like a month before school. Well, of course, everybody's going to be in uproar because of daycares and schedule, so they quickly flipped it back, only because of disruption, not because of bad outcomes. So, you know, the other thing that we do, you know, in school district, but even on a legislative level, trying to get some leadership from the state Department of Education, because there is such pushback locally amongst elected school board members or superintendents who, you know, just, it's sad, but politics comes before the voice of kids and students, and they are looking for the adult voting who, the voters who really, it's so much easier not to change things, to leave things as they always have been. So,
right, because I mean, it's got to be a bit of a hassle to enact such a sea change in the schedule.
Yeah,
so what does it entail? Yeah. I mean, is it just, you know, just change the school bells and, you know, put up a notice, or what does it entail?
There's different variations. I think it comes down to money and buses. It comes down to athletic directors and coaches fighting it because they want to have long afternoons after an early dismissal time for their teams. But it comes down to a change. And what happens is change is difficult. Change is no one likes change. I mean, we all get sort of set. But it is, so it's trying to show that this can be done. And again, where it is being done, yes, there's outcry for 4 to 6 months, but then it all works out. And you know what? People look back and say, oh my gosh, this is how it should have been. It's it's just like anything. You get pushback from all kinds of adults who are concerned about daycares and, you know, changing their lives, less convenience for adults. Mm-hmm. But what they're short-sighted, because we really do need to look at when you have, there was a Brookings Institute report on the outcomes. When you talk about the numbers of kids who will be better off because they do graduate, and the income production level and all of the things that are so positively affected by a later school start time as far as equity and equality in education for these students, the savings to society and the benefit to the communities in which these children end up staying and living far outweighs any inconvenience that we adults should even holler about.
Okay, well, I'm going to do a little bit of a lightning round with you on some possible pushback against this, and I'm sure you're familiar with some of these arguments because you've confronted them. You know, you've been you've been at PTA meetings, and you've been, you know, an advocate for this for years.
Oh my goodness, yes.
But here are some of the possible objections. You know, some people might say, look, you know, they prefer to stay up late, and, you know, they want to sleep in. But, you know, we're sort of coddling them. We're not really preparing them for an adult life of responsibilities. You know, there's a real world out there, and eventually they're going to have to report to a job. And so accommodating this, and it's sort of like a namby-pamby kind of thing. What do you say in relation to that?
I say we're not coddling. I mean, I'm saying that we're really, all we're trying to do is match the school hours. Let's make our school hours healthy and match them to the natural awake time of teens. You can make that school day just as challenging as you wish with all of its activities. You can push these kids, you can, you know, stress them with difficult tasks. If they are well rested, they will perform better. So it's not coddling, it is just acknowledging the necessity of sleep towards those children's health and academic progress and well-being, and don't harm them. You're harming them by making them get up early. Now, yes, they will be adults, and they will have to have adult work days and perhaps night shift hours, but while they're in their formative developing years of adolescence, let's take care of them and put them in a not an adversarial environment. Put them in a positive environment where they can thrive. Why are we making things so darn difficult for these kids when if we just match the school hours to their awake and sleep cycles, they would do so much better, and we as a community would be better. When they're adults, they don't have this profound hormonal levels like they do as adolescents, and they need less sleep as adults, and they can get up earlier and function earlier. But there's no need to force that type of behavior on these kids now. Just like we wouldn't ask an infant to go without it, sleep and nap, because we know that's an adverse outcome. Well, mm-hmm. so it is the same for teens. We got to remember, these are not adults. These are teens.
Indeed. So, you know, another possible argument, and I'm sure you've heard this, is, you know, look, if we start school late, say we start school at 9, the kids will just simply stay up later. You know, they have full access to their electronic devices. You know, they're texting, they're, you know, on social media. They'll just stay up later and later. Pretty soon we'll be pushing school start to like 1 p.m., right? No?
Yes. Yeah, well, let me tell you a very close to home story. The county next to mine starts their high schools two and a quarter hours later than we do. Our high school starts at 7, our five high schools. Theirs all start at 9:15.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Their kids go to bed the same time as our kids.
Oh.
These are just the same community. And the studies done show, you know what the delay in sleep is for those kids who have later school start times? A whopping 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's
this
amazing.
Just goes to show yeah. that all teens really want to go to bed around 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that school start time is at 7 in the morning or 9:15 in the morning, they're still all going to be nestled in their beds between 11 and 12.
So it's still, they're on their biological clock, their circadian rhythm is set.
They want to follow their biological clock. Now, I am not blowing off sleep hygiene. I really think it's the parental duty, set the bedtime.
Yep.
You know, close to 10:30 or 11, get the electronics out of the room, turn the lights off, all of that. Yes, we as parents have a duty to, you know, establish sleep hygiene. I will say, though, the school districts have a duty to set healthy school hours. That's where, mm-hmm. you know, the responsibility lies.
Okay, so another one possible objection is, hey, you know, you got these teenage drivers, and, you know, it's better to get them to school and off the roads before the elementary schools start, because otherwise you're going to have traffic mayhem and, you know, pedestrian deaths among elementary school kids who are being mowed down by their big brothers and sisters.
Well, you know, every community is different, whether it's urban or suburban or rural. What we're asking for as far as start school later is healthy school hours for all. And, you know, that's one of the big things. Oh, you can't put the younger kids in the dark. Well, no, we're not asking for any kid to be in the dark for the school bus. What we're saying is start the elementary schools first. Those kids, like I say, elementary school kids need 10 to 12 hours. If you are with a child who's 5 to 10 years of age, that study, you can put them to bed at 7:30 or 8 or 8:15, and they can sleep till 6 in the morning and have essentially a good full night's sleep with adequate rest. They can get up at 6 and be on the bus at 7:15 or 7:30 when the sun is shining, be safely transported to school, and their health and academics will not be compromised. Follow those bus routes with your middle and high school kids afterwards so that they have a chance to get their adequate sleep, they're not at the bus stop in the dark, and their health and academics won't be adversely affected. So, you know, no matter, it's so interesting because school districts, it's not like there's such a variety of school start times around the nation, and there really isn't a trend that when you have elementary schools first, there's a higher, you know, child victim MVA motor vehicle accident
mm-hmm.
or any
that's
tragedies
not been documented.
That are,
yep.
Yeah, no, there isn't. I mean, they've looked at that. There really isn't. My point also is that they say, oh, well, the elementary schools are so much more, those students are so much more vulnerable. Well, I'm not so sure that a young 13-year-old girl at a dark bus stop is less vulnerable than a 7-year-old mm-hmm. with a parent. And
yep.
parents tend to take their elementary school kids to the bus stop. Teenagers don't want their parents at the
yep.
bus stop. So if you think about who's accompanied and who isn't, we really, it's a paradigm shift. You just have to think. And so this whole commuter, you know, communities will adjust. I remember my superintendent was like, oh, we'll have to change the school zone times. I'm like, and, you know, we do this anyway. So, you know, we really need to take the bigger picture of what is the purpose of school? It's to educate kids. And if you're sending these teens at dark 30, the first 2 hours of school, it's a waste of the teacher's efforts, it's a waste of the taxpayers' dollars, the lights are on and no one's awake, so, you know, it's just wasteful not, it's not smart. We're not educating in those first 2 hours of the school day.
And one other objection might be that, you know, parents say, look, I want to clear the decks because I got to, you know, a parent might say, I've got to get off to work, you know, pretty early. So, you know, if my kids, if I had to drop my kid off at school at, you know, 8:45, that means I only start my commute to work at 9 o'clock. And then I have to get to work late. So that's throwing my schedule off. I want my kid parked in the schoolyard, you know, earlier so that I can do my thing. Has that been an issue?
Yeah. Well, and you're going to hear that from, you know, you have parents. This is the fact is the school day is always shorter than an adult working day. I mean, if you talk of school days, high school days are longest, and they're generally about 7 hours. The elementary school hours are even shorter. Daycare, child care, you know, child supervision is a parent responsibility, and it's tough. I mean, I've had to pay. Some schools provide before school care, some schools provide after school care. Yes, it is an issue, but it is something that it is not necessarily the school's responsibility to be a workday daycare place. You know, school times change.
Well, that's the way it's looked at. That's really the way that school is for some parents. Is it's
well,
like, you know,
okay, but then
yeah, supervised daycare.
It is, but yeah. There are, you know, community daycare providers. There are in-school providers. There are resources for parents that have children. And so, and there are school buses. And now school buses are somewhat restricted because of how far out they go. But, you know, you're going to sacrifice your kid's health and education because of a commuting problem. Maybe, you know, there are solutions for that. The older kids are more responsible, can get themselves up into school on their own versus the younger kids. You know, it's not like you have a young kid you're staying home with, but every school has a different start time, and parents, we have to adjust to that. And we do it as they're going through the K-12 programs. This would be one change where you'd have to adjust just one more time. And if given enough time, I know it can be done. I mean, there are ways to make sure that your child is healthy and academics. I mean, academics and health. We've got to put that. That's why we get up every day to put our kid in school.
Indeed.
Academics, and you've got to make sure that kid's health is not being... Who wants their kids not to have a healthy school environment? I mean, you know.
Okay, it's a matter of priorities. Clearly, it's a matter of priorities.
It's a matter of priorities.
So what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action for, say, a parent who might be interested in this initiative? What are the resources that they can turn to? How can they kickstart this kind of initiative in their community? Where should they go?
I get calls and questions all the time. I think the number one resource for any parent anywhere is startschoollater.net. And within that website, there are you can see if you have a local chapter in your area or nearby. If you do, you can contact them. And if it's something that would help you, guide you, great. If you're motivated to start your own chapter, we provide tremendous amount of support through experience and help to get a person started. And it's amazing if there's just someone who wants to hold up the leading flag, the numbers of parents that will gather and help, it's amazing. Because it really does take the local parents to push for it locally. You will have the backing of the state and national groups that are a part of Start School Later. You know, the American Academy of Pediatrics has a policy statement on secondary schools starting after 8:30. The CDC has a statement of starting schools after 8:30. In Florida, the Florida Academy of Pediatrics. I mean, there are organizations, the School Nurses Association, the Social Workers of America, I mean, the Sleep Foundation, all of these organizations are there to back what you believe in, what you know is necessary, and with that you have some oomph when you go into the superintendent or before your local school boards. Talk to your pediatricians. We're trying to get more physicians involved. We're very busy, but this, I think, is something that the AAP is trying to push up its ladder as far as policy, and when we have parents that are involved and engaged, it's great.
And where do you see this?
Let your school board beat you down.
Right. Where do you see this going? Do you see that within 5 or 10 years that maybe this will be not the exception, but the rule?
I think it's going to be sort of like a smoking and tobacco on school. Like, of course we should always start school later. Yeah. I think it will become the norm in time. I think it's just it's a matter of education and seeing the outcomes where these schools have done so well without losing their competitive sports, without losing participation in extracurricular activities that says this can be done. Let me just tell you, in the state of Florida, the top 10 school districts that have schools, high schools that start after 8, 6 of them, the top ranked 10 school districts, 6 of the 10 have high school start times between 8:30 and 9:15.
Okay, that really speaks to that paradigm.
Yeah. So it is, again, I think just a matter of momentum and letting schools know that this does make a difference in the academics of your students. The National Teachers Union supports healthy school hours. Very interesting, right? I mean, this is good for teachers. All these teachers are monitored now on their evaluations of adequate student progress. How about teaching a kid that's awake rather than asleep? Yeah. So there are, there are sparks. We're not a wildfire yet, but I think we're getting there. We're going to keep pushing. I've been doing this, and I told my school board, my baby just graduated. I've had 4 sons go through, and they thought I was going to go away. Well, guess what? I'm on the agenda September 28th to talk about this again. And I think it's just a matter of pushing and pushing and pushing that we'll be able to make these changes. And hopefully it will be sort of a standard that these high schools go back to what really has been normal in England. High school start at 9 o'clock. They've never changed. Like, why have we backed this down from 8:15? I think my high school started at 8:15. I can't imagine going to school at 7.
Yeah, that's wild.
Nuts,
well,
right?
We really appreciate your advocacy for this, and I think that this is a movement that really will catch on. Once again, the website is startschoollater.net. The .net part is important because a lot of people go to .com. Startschoollater.net, and there you'll find resources, you'll find case studies, you'll find the rationale, you'll find slide presentations that can outline all the reasons, all the important reasons why it's important to start school later. So thank you very much, Dr. Lynn Keefe, for joining us today. And
thank you for having me from Florida.
It's my pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.